Welcome to Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandra Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you live with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts and life. So tonight's topic is going to be about how to embrace your femininity. And before I begin, I had just wanted to start off by highlighting an article that I came across that spoke about feminism and being a feminist. And I just wanted to talk about the article in itself and just give my views on the things that I came across. So the title of the article is called Feminine and Feminist Ethics in Counselor Decision Making. This actually came out of a book called Housers. It was chapter 6 in PDF style. So I was just able to just get some key pointers that I wanted to highlight on the show. And it has a lot to do with women understanding the difference between being feminine and being a feminist, which I will talk about in simplicity towards the ending of the show. But I wanted to highlight this article because it had great pointers and views about feminism and being a feminist in itself. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about was the feminist stereotypical view. And in the article it states, feminists caution that it may be ethically unwise to link women with care because it can promote the view that women should care no matter what the cost to themselves. Tong, 1998, suggests that men may be all too willing to concede that women are more caring than men, thus leaving it to women to foster personal relationships and to deal with emotional issues. Mill, 1970, pointed out that praising women for their virtue measured a woman's worth based on the extent of her willingness to sacrifice for others. Caretaking is more of what society demands of women rather than something women created. According to Millett, 1988, a woman cannot truly care for another if she is economically, socially, or psychologically forced to do so. An ethic of care may only serve to reinforce traditional stereotypic roles for women. Also, a feminine explanation of female ambivalence about attachment and autonomy ignores the political forces that have confined women to caretaking roles, which stated by Sofin in 1992. So, I guess this just talks about the stereotypical view of, you know, women and how women just have this stigma of being caretakers, and this is their significance in society, which seems as though it's menial and subjective in a way, but at the same time, these are people researching views, political views, and outlook on feminists and things of that sort. So when you think about being a feminist, they try to argue against just being put in a box, per se, as far as being a caretaker. And basically, feminists really advocate for women that may go through mistreatment or may not have equal rights, in essence, when it comes down to their significance in society. Okay, that's my thought, my outlook on that. Then it's another one that was talking about several schools of feminist ethics. Okay, and those several ethics consist of, let me see, it talked about the existential, the postmodern, multicultural, and lesbian, among others, which was from Tongs, 2003. These are the several different schools of feminist ethics in itself, you know, but I wanted to highlight the fact of oppression, okay? Oppression is the key concept from the feminist perspective. In The Second Sex, 1953, existentialist feminist Simone de Beauvoir wrote that from the beginning, man named himself the self and women the other. If the other is a threat to the self, the woman is a threat to man. And if men wish to remain free, they must not only economically, politically, and sexually subordinate women to themselves, they must also convince women that they deserve no better treatment. Thus, if women are to become true selves, they must recognize themselves as free and responsible moral agents who possess the capacity to perform in the public as well as the private world. Socialist feminist thinking affirms that women must be men's economic as well as educational and political equals before they can be as powerful as men. And then it went on to talk about the postmodernism. And what is stated is that postmodernism is a complicated idea that arose in the 1980s in contrast to modern thought, which equates knowledge with science. And postmodern thought is concerned with the social construction of knowledge, which is always situational, conditional, and temporary, and which denies universal truths. By Clayage in 2003, which stated that. And postmodernism, which is acknowledgement and acceptance of multiple meanings, attracts feminists who see that all attempts to provide a single explanation for women's oppression will fail, and who sees it as yet another instance of male thinking and seeking one's truth about reality before there is no one entity. Women upon whom a label can be fixed. It is important to reveal the difference and resist the patriarchal tendency to rich thought and truths, which come from Tongs in 2003. Okay, so that just talked about oppression and postmodernism and what's taking place in this day and time. Okay, so now that I talked about that in debrief, I know some of us wondering, where does feminism originate from? Like, how did it even come about in being a feminist, right? So, historically, feminism has been influenced by white, heterosexual, middle to upper class women. Minority women criticize feminism for failing to incorporate the experiences of more diverse groups, such as racial and ethnic minorities, lesbians, and poor or working class women. Espian and Gualick in 1992 stated, and multicultural feminists believe that feminist thought is inattentive to issues of race, ethnicity, because Western culture values white ideals of beauty. For example, African American women are doubtfully oppressed, subject both to gender and racial discrimination. Feminists also address the life experience of disabled women, which is stated by Wendell in 1996, challenging the accounts of universal female bodily experiences. In response to these criticisms, feminism has broadened its scope. Many cultures around the world are patriarchal, and sex discrimination often has cultural roots. And although multiculturalism includes worthy goals of tolerance, flexibility, and respect for diversity, protecting the rights of minority groups may also serve to reinforce practices that facilitate the control of men over women while women remain hidden in a domestic or private sphere. Multiculturalism has raised questions about the danger of moral relativism for feminist ethics. And that was by Brennan in 1999 and Jagar in 1991. And those are my thoughts for where feminism originates from. And according to Nussbaum and Glover, 1995, stated that the dilemma in regards to feminism consists of, it says, to say that a practice endorsed by tradition is bad is to risk erroring by imposing one's own way on others who surely have their own idea of what is right and good. To say that a practice is all right, whatever local tradition endorses it as right, is to risk erroring by withholding critical judgment where real evil and oppression are surely present. And it shows the location of page one. So that's basically what I came across in the articles, and I thought that was very interesting, and I divided it into three sections of what stood out most to me, and how it talked about feminism and the ethics behind it and things of that sort and the political view. So now that I've talked about the article in itself, once again, it was called Feminism and Feminist Ethics and Counselor Decision Making. And tonight's topic, however, is how to embrace your inner femininity. Okay? So, without further ado, let's get right into the show. So, the first thing I wanted to talk about is, what is femininity? Okay, so femininity is a distinction between our physical, physiological, and behavioral characteristics which differentiate women from men and their masculine traits. For example, a traditional feminine woman's traits will consist of not being aggressive, talkative, indecisive, nurturing, gentle, emotional, and tactful. Now, there could be a list of other things as well, but those are the things that are highlighted as traditional feminine traits. Okay, now that I talked about what is femininity, I want to talk about what does femininity mean to me. Okay, as the host, Miss Mendez. So femininity means complementing the masculine counterpart through attributes of her character and mutual genuine respect for men. Femininity means balance and control of oneself and coming to an inner knowing or revelation of womanhood skin deep and accepting that. So that is what femininity means to me, Miss Mendez. And femininity may mean so many other things to other women that's out there. And, you know, I amend those women and their views on femininity in itself. Okay, so now I wanted to talk about what are the three main types of femininity. Okay, so according to the Human Experience Brand Genetics article on femininity, it presented a chart describing the three types of femininity, which are the following. It's recessive, current, and emergence. Okay, so recessive, right? Recessive consists of traditional femininity traits, where it is about the physical, physiological, and behavior patterns of women to differentiate from men and defining womanhood. So, of course, that's what recessive means, as I mentioned in the introduction of the show of what femininity is. Okay, and The second part of it is current, which is social changes. And in those current, it talks about the hyper powerful and perfectionist femininity. Okay, and hyper femininity, it is centered on women adopting the stereotypical views and traits of society, which encourages female liberation with their exposure and exploitation of their bodies and overemphasizing their sexuality. Okay, and then powerful femininity, it is centered on women adopting the traits of masculine energy to be a boss or achieve certain victories in life. For example, a feminine woman adopting certain strengths and competitive nature as men. Okay, and then lastly is the perfectionist femininity. It is about feminine women responding to change by searching for perfection and achieving the ideal appearance and standard of beauty of society. These types of women feel the pressure of having to excel at everything in life as though they are superheroes. Okay, so that's what current is about, and is divided into three stereotypical type of social changes of what women go through and its classifications. Okay, and lastly, it talked about emerges. Okay, it's the unconstructed femininity. It's feminine women responding to change from an unorthodox perspective positively and avoiding the traditional stereotypical traits of women and their character. It is about these types of women redefining womanhood along with their own identity and doing away with traditional gender boundaries. Okay, so that's the emerges, and it's classified under unconstructed femininity. Okay, so now that I talked about the three different main types of femininity, now I want to get into the meat of the show, in which you all were waiting for, at least the women who are listening to my show, is how to practice your feminine nature as women. Okay, and the first thing that I came up with five essential things that are so important, and the first one being discover who you are on an intrinsic level. That is so important. Okay, to understand who you are is to understand what you like, what you don't like, what you will accept, what you wouldn't accept, and things that are productive and conducive for your growth going forward as a woman and going into transitional phases of womanhood or motherhood in itself. Okay, so understanding you is so important. Number two, allow yourself the time to either heal, rejuvenate, or set aside time for self-care, which is very imperative because you want to be able to take care of yourself, your mental health, your physical body, and to be able to recharge yourself. You know, when you've been drained and you've been doing so much or wearing different hats, you know, you need that alone time to be able to unwind and to be able to rejuvenate your strength to put your energy and effort maybe into your family, per se, and spending time with them and things of that sort. Okay, and then number three, spend time with other women who are like-minded or have similar goals as you. I feel like the whole saying, iron sharpens iron. When you are around other women, especially when they're like-minded, I feel like there's a sense of safety, a sense of comfortability, and relatableness when you are around, you know, women that are like-minded as yourself. And it's kind of rejuvenating as far as circulating strength and not strife amongst each other as women, but being happy and feeling that sense of being able to learn from that dynamic and being in a group with other women that's like-minded as yourself, and women that have similar goals as you. It's good to have a woman that can be a mentor for you, especially if you are a younger woman and you pursuing a profession that woman may be in, and she can teach you, coach you, and help you to be successful in life. Okay, and number four is have a journal or diary to maintain your mental health. That is so imperative and so important. Okay, I feel like having a journal, you could be able to just free write, freestyle, and write whatever comes to mind. Or sometimes what you write in your journal or diary can be structured on what you want to talk about. Sometimes when you don't have anything to talk about, you can come up with different subjects and be able to write about it, so you can have something to put into your journal if you don't feel like talking about anything, or it's, you know, just to fill up the pages in your book and to have something to go back in to reading your journal or diary. So that's, I call those fillers. So when you miss a couple of days or you don't know what to write about, you know, you can fill it in by just putting a topic you want to talk about. Character building, right? So character building, for example, patience. And you could talk about what your thoughts are on patience and just fill up that block that you miss, or page that you miss, to fill up your journal and things of that sort. That can also make it interesting. And if you just talk about a topic in itself. Okay, and lastly, number five is exercise daily or participate in activities that'll either teach you a lesson or make you happy. Okay, so that's some of the things that you can do. Five things, essentially, as a feminine woman. And what you can do to practice your femininity and be okay, feel happy and proud of yourself as a woman. Okay, so now lastly, we're going to talk about the difference between a feminist and a feminine woman, because there is a difference between the two, and I wanted to give my thoughts on that. But before we get into the difference of the two, I'm going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, so I'm back. That was a 1 minute break. But what's the difference between feminists and feminine women? The difference between a feminist and feminine woman are the ethical and context of two. Okay, so femininity focuses on the maternal, psychological, and behavioral characteristics regarding the development of womanhood. It refers to the autonomy of women in search of their own identity and advocating self-care as women. Okay, now a feminist, okay, on the other hand, she focuses on the justice and victories of women against toxic male domination and ideologies that denigrate women's significance in society. They are advocates for women equality and rights in society. Now, feminist is not the ideal person for a man, you know, because a man may feel threatened by a feminist because, you know, they may feel that either the woman don't know her place, you know, that's a little bit misogynistic, but they feel as though the woman is a threat because she's trying to gain that autonomy through force and to get that equality and things of that sort. So it's almost as if saying that the man can't do his job as good, or that a woman can do a man's job better than he can do it. So that's some of the views of what men get. And, you know, I feel like certain men do not like aggressive women. You know, not to say that all women are aggressive, but when they feel threatened by a woman, it's like when a woman is totally, like, independent. Someone who's, you know, not going to take no BS from anyone. They are not, you know, as attractive to men just in general because, like I said, they are like a challenge or they feel as though, you know, they're a threat. And a 9 times out of 10, a lot of times women might say, okay, well, if they're a challenge or they're a threat, that's fine. That may, you know, show that's their weak qualities. And there may be a man that can handle a woman as so, such as the alpha man and the alpha woman. They understand leadership in itself. You know, one doesn't belittle the other or what have you and things of that sort. Okay, so that's just my views on that. So, now that we had talked about, you know, femininity and feminism in itself, you know, there's no monologue on tonight's show, but I wanted to express that this was a very interesting topic in itself, and I hope to expand on this in the future as far as feminism and being a feminist and things of that sort, just to bring some clarity and, you know, wedge that gap between men and women when it comes down to understanding the ideals and pursuits of feminist women and what they are trying to advocate for, like really and truly, you know, understand that without feeling threatened by women trying to gain that autonomy or equal rights in itself. Okay, so with that being said, I thank you all for taking the time out for listening to the Memoirs of Her. And I hope that you all have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.